And usually today we would be reading about the Samaritan woman, okay? And for those who are upset, you know, feel free to kind of go back home in John chapter 4 and you can read about the Samaritan woman. But today, because it is the 29th of the Coptic month, we're actually celebrating the Annunciation, okay? And the Annunciation just kind of like Trump, it's like the Trump card, okay? It's like we're just going to trump whatever it is that we have going on in the church. And that's why you see that the readings today are based on the Annunciation, the hymns today are based on the Annunciation, and everything is kind of in this festal tune. So on the surface, I always have like conflicted feelings, okay, because I love the Lent Gospels. And on the surface, it seems like this is kind of a halt or an interruption. Of course, it's not, okay, it's like a halt or an interruption in our kind of Lent journey. But the way I was kind of thinking about it is this kind of serves for us as like a flashback. Okay, like imagine if like you're watching a movie, you know how they have like the flashbacks in the movie? Because this is really where it all began, right? This is really where it all began. The work of Christ began, his ministry began, is in the Annunciation. And when it began, you can imagine if you're in the place of St. Mary, an angel appears to you. Like if you went home today and an angel appeared to you, you'd be afraid, okay? And that's why the first thing that the angel says is, do not be afraid. And we hear all the things that is happening, both like from St. Mary's perspective of things, and she's trying to grasp it, trying to understand what's going on. But the part that really sticks out to me is the description that the angel gives about who Jesus will be. The description that the angel gives, and this is the description. It's actually not that long, but this is what he says. He says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom will be no end. So to summarize, Mary is going to bear a son. His name is Jesus. He's going to be great. And his greatness is going to, like, he's going to reveal this greatness, and he's going to have a kingdom who's going to have, it's going to have no end. If you heard this description without understanding our context, how does this really sound to you? I was thinking about this. This would actually sound kind of scary. When you think of kingdoms, earthly kingdoms, especially like if you read like the Old Testament and things like that, those powerful earthly kingdoms, the one hope that people had is that eventually it's going to end. Like the Babylonians are here for a while. Okay, that's going to end, right? Like the Syrian Empire, whatever, like it's the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, it's going to end. But to hear that there's going to be a kingdom where he's going to be great, and there's going to be a kingdom with no end, that's kind of a scary thing. And he's going to be so great. Again, if I'm listening to this with my earthly understanding, is that he's going to be so great that there's going to be no one would dare to like approach him. Like imagine a really powerful ruler or a really powerful king. No one would dare to approach a really powerful king or powerful ruler. They'd be scared to go near them. From a human perspective, it sounds to us that someone with great power, unlike we've ever seen before in history, is about to appear. And from an earthly perspective, again, that kind of sounds scary. And if you wanted to kind of think about this, imagine that that there was any human on this earth that had complete power, complete authority, the greatest kingdom, and you would say, that's a scary thing, because we know what power does to people usually with humans is it corrupts. Like power corrupts. Like we know that's what power does. And yet today, in the other readings of Scripture, we get to see what this kingdom actually looks like. If you were paying attention in the Vespers Gospel, we get to see how this kingdom that Jesus is establishing is unlike any other kingdom before. In the Vespers Gospel, we have somebody that approaches Jesus. And the only description given to her is that she is a sinful woman. Okay, not like if you're going to go down in Scripture and you're going to be given an adjective, not the way you want to go down in Scripture. But that's the only description we get, is a sinful woman. And Jesus is great. And Jesus is sitting with a Pharisee. So from earthly eyes and from maybe the Pharisee's eyes, this is a great teacher. We're kind of like equals. We're sitting across the table from one another. We're having a meal with one another. We're kind of like equals. He doesn't know anything about anything. We're equals. And then a sinful woman appears. And when the sinful woman appears, there's silence in the room. There's silence in the room. What is this woman thinking? What is she about to do? Like, we're all kind of just like waiting. Like, is anybody going to stop her? Like, what's going on? And we know the rest of the story. Is the not only she approaches Jesus, but Jesus accepts her and Jesus forgives her. This is scandalous. This is unheard of. This would be a shock. Like, we hear these stories over and over again. This is shocking. This doesn't make any sense. From our earthly standards, this kingdom that Jesus is coming to establish, this, like a ruler that is great, like that's beneath him. That doesn't make any sense. But that's not the type of kingdom that Jesus was coming to reveal. Anyone else, this woman would be unworthy. This woman would be disgusting. She wouldn't be worthy to be in the presence of somebody great like Jesus. But that's how Jesus shows us that the power and the greatness that he's coming to reveal is something different than what we're used to from a human perspective. Same thing in the Matthew's gospel. We read about Jesus casting out demons. And when we read about Jesus casting out demons, again, we kind of take this as like, yeah, Jesus casts out demons all the time. But again, why bother? Like, that's almost beneath Christ. Kind of like when we talked about the temptations. That's beneath him. Why bother? What I kept coming to over and over again as I was reading these stories is, if we wanted to describe the kingdom and the power that Jesus was coming with, I don't know if this really makes sense, but it kind of made sense in my head. What I came up with is compassionate authority, both together. Compassionate authority. For humans, this paradox is pretty much impossible. Like, for humans to have complete authority and complete compassion at the same time is nearly, I would probably say, impossible. Nobody really can do that. But that's the kingdom that Jesus came to establish. We see Jesus' extreme authority and extreme compassion all throughout Scripture, like revealed all throughout Scripture. Obviously, in the stories that we just mentioned with the sinful woman and him casting out a demon, those are two examples among many. But we see this extreme compassion and extreme authority displayed to the lowest people in society, the people that everybody else would say they're not worthy. Like, send them away, send them away, send them away. They're not worthy to be in the presence of Jesus. I believe that holding on to this reality of who Jesus is like both the kingdom of Jesus as compassionate authority, holding those two things together is so essential for us. It's essential for us because if I don't believe, we'll take one at a time, if I don't believe in the compassion of Jesus, then I'm always going to be afraid to approach him. And that's where we get to see the beautiful, like, the example that the sinful woman gives to us in the Vespers Gospel. But by the same token, if I don't believe in the authority of Jesus and that Jesus has power to actually do something about what's going on in my life, for him to actually be present in my problems or to change me in a certain way, like, if I don't believe in the authority of Jesus, then I'm not going to go to him. Like, okay, maybe he's compassionate, but why the authority? Like, that wouldn't, if he doesn't have the authority, then it wouldn't make sense for me to go to him. I think sometimes when we fail to go to Christ is when we fail to recognize one of these two things. His compassion or his authority? His compassion or his authority? But truthfully, I don't want to make it today just about like you and your experience with God. Today what I kept feeling in my heart is a challenge. If we know, like we're here, we know this is who Jesus is. Like, it's not a surprise to me that I told you today, did you know Jesus is all powerful? And do you know Jesus is very compassionate? Like, you know that. But you know, other people actually don't know that. There are so many people that really don't know that. There are so many people that are actually missing out on that. Just this other day, I was, this past week, I gave a friend a call, and I was kind of just rambling, okay? And it was rambling because I was kind of a little bit frustrated. I kept seeing kind of the same pattern over and over again. Person is lost, and is just seeking nonsense, just going further and further away. And no matter what they think is going to fulfill them, it's like almost going into a deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper pit. And I kept seeing this pattern over and over and over again. It was driving me insane. I'm like, we have to do something. And obviously something is the church. Okay, but like, we have to do something. This is craziness. Like, what's going on? Like, people are going insane. Like, it's insanity out there. And I kept having conversation with one person after another. And I'm like, and based on our conversation, I'm like, you don't actually believe the words that are coming out of your mouth, do you? Like, you don't really believe that, like, going to get, like, that big house is like, oh, now you're gonna have peace inside. Like, you don't really believe that, right? Like, first of all, do you know, like, the maintenance cost? Like, you don't really believe that. Like, there's no way. Like, there's no way you believe that. You don't really believe that it's actually, if I just got this one job, then, like, all is going to be good. Like, there's no way you actually believe that. But over and over again, I was having the same conversation. And it was driving me nuts. And for those who know me, I'm usually pretty like, even keel. Okay, like, generally. But this, I was driving me insane. I was, like, going crazy. And over again, I just kept thinking to myself, this is the message that we should be preaching to others. That Jesus is so compassionate, that you're not too far gone. Okay, and that's a story from last week. You're never too far gone. Prodigal son, you're never too far gone. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as too far gone. There's no person that's too far gone. And like when we see that in people around us and they're suffering and they're struggling, you're never too far gone. That's foolishness. But also, Jesus has authority. Like Jesus is powerful. He's not this distant figure that we speak of. That he is present in our life. My God is the one that no problem is too big for him. He has complete authority. And by the same token, no sin is too gross for him to deal with. He has complete compassion. This message, I think, is so desperately needed for everybody. Ourselves, for sure, because sometimes we forget it. But let's not take it for granted that this is common sense. I promise you, it's not common sense. Like, it's not common. Look around you. It's not common sense. People are chasing so many things. That's not this. What I wrote down here is, you know, we always talk about how we're ancient faith to a modern world, that we're not just concerned about the church inside, but outside. And what I wrote down is, we have a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do. Like SCSA family, we got a lot of work to do. And don't rely just on the people wearing the funny hats. Like, this is your job too. Like, we got a lot of work to do. Because there's people outside that are hungry. And truthfully, there are people that you can reach that I can never reach. There are coworkers that are next to you that you might not have noticed, but they're just running after that one thing after another. And they're hungry. They're hungry. And the message today, the announcement today that Archangel Gabriel came to tell St. Mary is great news. That's the announcement, is that there's great news. That there's going to be somebody born that's going to change the world. Not just macro, but like the world, like your world, like my world. There's a prayer that we pray silently in the liturgy. It's one of the, during the Matins and Vespers, when the priest, towards the end, before the absolution, like near the end, he's praying a prayer silently in the altar. And it's a prayer that I love very much. And part of the prayer, he says this. He says, turn us, O God, and he's talking about all the people of God, not just us. He says, turn us, O God, to the fear of you and desire for you. Turn us, O God, to the fear of you and desire for you. Okay? We talked about compassion and authority. Paradox. Doesn't make sense. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody desire something that they fear? Like, let's say you're afraid of heights, okay? Let's say you're afraid of heights. Do you desire today that I take you on the tallest building in the world and say, hey, look down. Isn't that fun? Like, do you desire that? So what in the world are we talking about here? Turn us to the fear of you and a desire for you. The fear of God, the way we talk about fear of God in Scripture and things like that, is not being scared of God, but it's being fully aware of God's presence. Okay, and that's the authority of God. Like, being fully aware of God's presence, that he's there. That it's not just like I'm saying words, that he's here, like that he's really here. And a lot of times when we stray away from God is because we don't have this fear of God. We're not aware of his presence. And the desire for him, to be honest, that comes naturally when we are in his presence. The more we are in the presence of God, the more that we are aware of his presence, that comes naturally. The more we're aware of God, the more God to us becomes irresistible. Like, I can't imagine a life without God. And truthfully, when I see people living like far away from God, it's not a judgment thing. It's my heart breaks. Because I can't imagine a life away from God. Like, that miserable existence is the only thing I can say. Our job is to help people see, or to turn people and to turn ourselves always to the fear of God and the desire for him. The fear of God in terms of, hey, he's really here. He really does have authority. He really is present in your life. He really can change things. And a desire for him is we fall in love with God because of his compassion and his mercy. We fall in love with him because he first loved us. The more we experience who Jesus really is as the one who has supreme authority, yet full of extreme compassion, the more that we fall in love with him, and naturally that love will spill over onto others as well. And it's fitting that this comes to us, at least, you know, that this thought comes to us kind of in the middle-ish of Lent. Okay, we have a few more weeks. Okay, middle-ish of Lent. And because truthfully, when we fully see the kingdom of God established, or let me say this way, when we fully see God sit on his throne, when we fully see compassion and authority fully, and when Christ takes his seat on the throne, is on Good Friday, is on the cross. That is a perfect image of compassion and authority. Extreme compassion, extreme authority. You would say, how? Compassion, okay, like he's dying for us, but where's the authority? He did it willingly. He's what? Taking away our sins, taking away death. The sign of the cross is a reminder for all of us that this compassion and authority, it's always there with Christ. It's always there with everything that we do. And it's our job to remind ourselves of that, but to also remind others of that. That he's there, that he loves us, that we're all loved by him. No matter how far we've strayed, his compassion is always there. And also, he always has authority over our life, and he's always present in our life. My prayer is throughout the rest of our Lenten journey, we keep our eyes fixed on the one who is full of compassion and full of authority. And we keep our eyes focused on him, but also helping others focus on him. So let's pay attention and let's see. Let's pay attention and see who God puts in our life. Okay? I know that sometimes we focus a lot on like internal in us. And of course, like God is always working on us. But let's look around and let's see. Maybe God will open a door this week, next week, whatever, that you will have the opportunity to reveal to somebody the compassion of Christ and the authority of Christ. And when you do that, and somebody really holds on to that, their life is forever changed. And glory be to God forever. Amen.